Please be seated and let's pray. Oh Lord, as we just sung the power of the cross, Lord, and that leads us right into our time of celebrating communion and to remember what you accomplished there. I pray that you would just bless this time as we seek to magnify you, Jesus. And it's always in your great name we pray. Amen. As we are about to spend some time in God's Word, we want to make sure that everyone has a copy of God's Word in front of them to look at. So if you do not have a copy, the men are going to come forward. Just go ahead and raise your hand, and they will distribute a Bible for you. And if you don't own one, this is a gift that you can actually have and take home with you. Go ahead and open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, we'll be in verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. What is the gospel? What is the gospel? Some of you are thinking, it's the good news, and you're not wrong. Sometimes when we consider the gospel, we can be thinking about all the various facts, timelines, all the perhaps the big theological terms that are associated with the gospel. Sometimes we become too familiar or too casual with the gospel. If we start to focus more on the mere facts of the gospel, then we miss it. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. If we miss Jesus, then we miss what makes the good news the good news. And this morning, we're going to see a short, succinct form of the gospel that the early church utilized. In 1 Timothy, the Apostle Paul provides a poetic and concise message of the gospel that points to and reveals Jesus Christ. Please follow along as I read 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And by common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was manifested in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. In the previous verse, verse 15, Paul said that it's the church's responsibility to be the pillar and the support of the truth. And what is this truth? Verse 16 tells us that the truth that's commonly confessed, that's undeniable, that's beyond question, that's most certainly great, is the mystery of godliness. The mystery here is not something that's unknown, but it is well known. It's been revealed. And what is the mystery of godliness? Well, it's not a what, but rather it's a who, and it's Jesus. Jesus Christ is the perfect example or representation of godliness, God-likeness. And he and what he accomplished is the pinnacle of the truth that is the church's mission to uphold. All of Christian truth is exemplified and summed up in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what follows here is a very condensed and clear summation of the gospel in poetic form that was even likely used as a hymn by the early church. He who was manifested in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. All six of these lines point to and reveal Jesus. From incarnation to glorification, from vindication and seen in the heavenly realm to proclamation and believed on in the earthly realm. All six of these lines talk about Jesus. He was manifested. He was vindicated. He was seen. He was proclaimed. He was believed on, and he was taken up. But for our time this morning, as we celebrate communion, we're going to zoom in and focus on the second line. He was vindicated in the spirit. The Greek word translated vindicated here is a legal term. And it's the same word often used in the book of Romans that's translated justified, meaning to be declared righteous. In God's courtroom, sinners are not righteous and therefore need something outside of themselves. We need to be declared righteous. But Jesus, He does not need to be declared righteous. He is righteous. He was vindicated. He was proven to be right by his death and resurrection. Everything that he said and did, in everything that he claimed and accomplished, he was shown and proven to be right. He claimed to be the Messiah. He claimed that he was fulfilling Scripture. And had he stayed dead, he simply would have been one of many men that were crucified by the Roman government. But he did not stay dead. Isaiah 53, written roughly 700 years before Jesus walked on this earth, says that the Messiah would be pierced through for our transgressions, would be crushed for our iniquities, would be a guilt offering, that he will justify the many, that he will bear their iniquities, that he will be poured out to death, that he will bear the sin of many. And as Jesus in his earthly ministry, he said that he would drink the cup of wrath, that he would die and rise again on the third day. And when Jesus was raised by the Spirit, the proof of who he truly was and is was given. The stamp of his messiahship was clearly seen. All of those things were accomplished by Jesus at the cross. He went as the substitute for sinners to bear the wrath that they deserved. He is the Messiah, he is the Savior, and he is our God. And that's why we set aside time every week here at Grace Bible Church to remember what he accomplished there at the cross. We remember Jesus and his death. And we do this by taking a little cracker that represents his body that was given, and we do it by taking a little cup of juice that represents his blood that was shed. And in doing so, we remember and we proclaim his death. The Lord's Supper is only for believers, for those that trust and follow Jesus. So if by your own admission you would say that you are not trusting in Christ alone, then when the tray comes by, we simply ask that you would just let it pass. If you have any questions about what it means to trust and follow Jesus, please come talk to me and any one of the other pastors, the person who brought you. We would love to talk with you about what it means to trust and follow Jesus. This is also a time for believers to examine themselves. We're warned not to take the bread and the cup in an unworthy manner. If you have any known unrepentant sin, go ahead and confess that right now. Turn from it and partake. Believer, Jesus did not simply go to the cross to deal with the penalty of sin in general. He did it specifically for you. He was pierced through for your transgressions. He was crushed for your iniquities. He justified you. He bore your iniquities, he bore your sin, and he was poured out to death for you. It is very personal. And he was raised on the third day by the Spirit, and he was vindicated and proved to all of these things that all of them are true. And because of that, we have hope. We have hope and get to look forward to that time when we will be in God's presence, not just for a short period of time, but forever. As we take the elements, as we take the bread and the cup, consider these things. And when your hearts are prepared, go ahead and take communion on your own. Men, please come and serve us.